You're listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a podcast where we explore what it's like getting older, the peaks, the valleys, and everything in between. In this season of Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, we're covering topics related to solo aging. I'm your host, Cheryl Proska. Let's grow old together. On today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Carolyn Trend. Carolyn is a physician, independent health advocate, and founder of Trend Health Advocacy, LLC. She received her BA in English from Dickinson College and her MD from Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. Carolyn completed a pediatric residency and served as chief resident at St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. After practicing medicine for over 20 years, Carolyn transitioned to a career in health advocacy, where she now specializes in working with middle-aged and older adults and their caregivers. She helps her clients understand their medical conditions, communicate with their physicians, and navigate the healthcare system more efficiently. Carolyn's goal is to provide her clients with the same level of empathy and concern she shows her own parents, who were her first unofficial clients. A client perfectly summed up Carolyn's role as a health advocate. She is like a professional daughter who is a doctor. Carolyn is based in Flemington, New Jersey, and offers in-person services for local clients and remote services nationwide. Carolyn, welcome. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm good, Cheryl. Thanks so much for having me here today.
Absolutely. So, Carolyn, you are joining me today to talk about health advocacy and how a health advocate can help you navigate the complex and frustrating healthcare system. To start, would you share more about your career journey and how you transitioned from pediatrics to now focusing on older adults?
Sure. I think there are two parts to that question. First, how did I end up working mostly with older adults when I started out as a pediatrician? And then how did I end up making the switch from working as a pediatrician to becoming a health advocate? So I was really close to my grandparents when I was a kid, and I've always been drawn to older people. When I started medical school, I actually thought I was going into geriatrics. Most people think that geriatrics and pediatrics could not be more different as specialties. So they're really baffled by my career transition. When you stop to think about it, though, pediatrics and geriatrics actually have a lot in common. In both specialties, you're dealing not only with patients, but also with their families. I really liked getting to know the whole family and being part of that dynamic. Also, young children and older adults are often trying to gain or maintain their independence. And this can cause conflict with family members who aren't comfortable or aren't sure how to cope with that independence. I ultimately chose pediatrics because I really wanted to help kids develop habits that would keep them healthy and hopefully prevent a lot of adult diseases. As a health advocate, I work with clients of all ages, but middle-aged and older adults tend to have the biggest need for my services. And I really do enjoy working with an older population. So getting back to the second part of the question, how did I end up in the advocacy space at all? When I was working as a pediatrician, I was advocating for patients all the time. When I left clinical medicine, I hadn't really decided what I wanted to do next. I was helping friends and family members who were dealing with medical issues, but it didn't initially occur to me that I could make a career out of it. In the end, it was actually my parents who led me to my aha moment. My dad was having some medical problems and ended up in the hospital. He was dealing with a lot of complicated issues. And even though my mom was a nurse and my four siblings and I were all very involved and I like to think helpful during that time, it was still really hard to manage everything. And we found ourselves asking each other several times during the week my dad was in the hospital, how does anybody do this alone? Like, there are so many of us and we're smart people and we're engaged. And this is still really, really hard. How does anybody do this alone? And it finally hit me, nobody should have to do this alone. And that was sort of what inspired me to start a business as a health advocate.
Just yesterday, I was meeting with some of our wellness and care coordination team, and they brought up two of the exact same points that you're bringing up. One, it can be so challenging to manage and work with the family dynamics, especially if there are multiple children involved, because everyone has their own opinion, and it can be very challenging and necessary to have an advocate like yourself to guide everyone to get on the same page to do what that parent, that older adult wants, what their wishes are. And the other side of that you brought up, where the solo agers, individuals who don't necessarily have that support network, maybe they don't have any children or the children are very far away, where they too, just as much as someone with many children and a support need a lead, so do those solo agers. So it's just doing such a service to anyone on the spectrum of what you're doing.
Definitely.
Carolyn, can you tell us what is a health advocate?
Yes. So in broad terms, a health advocate, sometimes called a patient advocate, is someone who helps people navigate various aspects of the healthcare system. The specific services that an advocate provides usually depend on the advocate's background. So for example, a health advocate might be a social worker or a nurse, or they might come from the medical billing or insurance industry. I've met a few other physicians who became advocates after they left clinical medicine, but there still aren't a lot of us in this space. What I would say is, because the term health advocate can mean so many different things to different people, it's really important to make sure that when you're choosing an advocate, you choose somebody whose area of expertise matches your particular needs. So you're hiring somebody who can help you with what you need help with.
Who needs a health advocate?
The short answer is everyone. More specifically, anyone who has ever felt confused or frustrated or intimidated by the healthcare system could benefit from having an advocate. Our current healthcare system is so complicated, even in the best of times. And then if you add into that someone who's dealing with the physical and emotional impacts of illness, it's absolutely overwhelming to try to do it by yourself. It doesn't matter how smart you are or how savvy you are. As I mentioned, I'm a physician. My mom was a nurse, and we still struggled with being overwhelmed when it was my dad who needed help. At some point, pretty much all of us will need some help when we're dealing with healthcare issues. And it was interesting. One of my first clients was actually a physician who wanted me to help her father. Being a physician, this woman knew the medical system. She knew how it worked. She understood all of the issues that her father was facing, but she wanted to be his daughter, not his doctor. She didn't want to have to fill both roles. And having me there to deal with the medical stuff gave her the freedom just to be his daughter. And that's what she needed. That's what her dad needed. So it doesn't mean that you're not smart if you want an advocate. It doesn't mean that you're not capable. It just means all of us have a breaking point and all of us need some kind of help. And even if you don't want to hire a professional advocate, I think it's always helpful to have a family member or a friend go to medical appointments with you or take notes for you, just to have another set of ears so you're sure you're understanding and remembering the things that your doctor told you. Because again, when you're stressed, a lot of times you just can't keep track of everything that's happening and it gets overwhelming.
And even different personality types, where two people might walk into the same appointment and depending on your personality and your disposition, person A might hear one thing and person B might hear the other. So hear something completely different. So to just have another perspective is invaluable.
Yes. It's funny that you mentioned that, Cheryl. I had a client who had me go to his visits with him and his wife. And at the end of just about every visit, my client would turn to me and say, "See, the doctor just told me there's no hope, I'm going to die." And the wife would say, no, she told you you're going to be just fine. And the truth was somewhere in between. So it really was helpful for them to have an objective set of ears. You know, I would take notes during the visit and I could say, no, that's not what she said. But each of them, after almost every visit, really stayed true to their personality type, that she only wanted to hear that he was just going to be fine. And he only wanted to hear that he was going to die. So it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I've had that exact experience.
Yeah. And it's, I'm laughing because with my husband and I, I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. He's like, that doesn't sound so bad. So it's a good balance, but having a third party, if there was something obviously very serious that we needed to deal with, that would be very important for us so that we could be level-headed about the decision-making.
Yes. Yes. I can translate and I can mediate. So it is interesting though, how people, they're still themselves, even if they're in the doctor's office.
Absolutely. So what kinds of issues can a health advocate help with?
You can find an advocate to help with just about any aspect of your healthcare. So an advocate can explain insurance benefits and try to help you understand what benefits you might get from one plan versus another. Some advocates will identify and dispute incorrect charges on your medical bills. There are advocates who specialize in finding programs that are available either through an insurance company or through a community organization that can help clients with transportation needs or accessing healthcare or even managing their activities of daily living. And those kinds of services can be particularly important for adults who want to remain in their own homes as they age. So for people that you're working with, an advocate can really help them remain relatively independent and in their own homes.
So when should someone consider hiring an advocate who, like you, is a physician?
So most people who hire an advocate who's a physician want help with the medical aspects of their care. So they're not looking for somebody to help them with their billing or their insurance, although those are things that I do. But most of the time, people are looking for a physician when it's the clinical and medical aspects of their care that they're struggling with. So things like communicating with their medical team, understanding their conditions or their treatments, trying to identify someone to give them a second opinion or find a clinical trial if they feel like they've kind of exhausted all the options that have been offered to them. A physician advocate can organize someone's health information, translate medical jargon into plain language, or even communicate with family members if that's something the client wants. Again, depending on family dynamics, sometimes, as you said, if you have multiple children who don't see eye to eye and they're arguing among themselves, sometimes it helps to have a professional come in who can mediate and explain things without having to get into all of the baggage that the family members are bringing with them. In an ideal world, any patient could easily get in touch with their doctor whenever they need to. Unfortunately, the reality is that most physicians and nurses and everyone in healthcare, for that matter, they're really stretched thin right now, and healthcare workers are burning out at really high rates. In an effort to protect physicians, a lot of times the office staff puts up barriers that make it all but impossible for patients to get in touch with their doctors. I wish it weren't the case, but I have found that my title of doctor really helps me gain access to other physicians. So one of my clients might try to call their doctor's office, or this adult son or daughter might try to call their parent's doctor, and they're getting blocked. Their phone calls aren't being returned, or they're told they have to come into the office. They can't just have a question answered briefly. But when I say, this is Dr. Trend calling on behalf of this patient, I tend to get answers more quickly and more efficiently than the client can get for themselves. So I use that to my client's advantage. Again, I wish it weren't the case that that had to be, but that really is an asset when I'm trying to get answers from my clients.
And sometimes in my experience, when I'm calling the doctor or calling the pharmacy, there's even a choice. If you're a medical professional calling on behalf of a patient, press one, everybody else press two. So it seems like even like from a user standpoint, the like from the client experience, it may be they're setting it up. So it may be easier for the physician to physician or the provider to provider to speak to one another.
Definitely. Definitely. So that's definitely a benefit.
So in addition to gaining quicker access, what kinds of reaction have you gotten from your clients' doctors?
When I started working as an advocate, I was a little worried about that. I wasn't sure how other doctors and providers would perceive me, how they would react to my involvement with their patients. I thought maybe there would be a little bit of suspicion and defensiveness. And I have to say, usually there's a little bit of uncertainty and curiosity about my role when we first start, because most doctors haven't dealt with an advocate before. I never dealt with an advocate when I was working as a physician. It's a relatively new concept. Maybe not even so new, but most people just aren't really familiar with it. But once we get past that initial confusion and trying to figure out what my role is, I've gotten really positive feedback from physicians. I think they realize that I help their patients, but I also help them. When I'm involved, the patients tend to be more organized. They tend to be better informed. And this makes the time that they're spending with their doctor more efficient. So my involvement ends up saving the doctor time and frustration. So in the end, everybody wins. I mean, I'm there to help my clients, but it also makes me happy that I can make the physician's life easier because I know where they're coming from. I know what issues they're dealing with and what pressures they're trying to manage. So I do end up helping both sides. I always make it very clear to my clients and their doctors that even though I'm a physician, my role is not to practice medicine. I'm not there to give medical advice or step on anybody's toes when I'm working as an advocate. The client's own doctors are running the show. I totally respect that. And I think that puts the doctors at ease too, that I'm not there as an adversary. I'm really there to try to work with both sides to make sure everybody understands what's going on and my clients are getting the best care that they can.
Yes. And I'm thinking about myself. Sometimes we're not always forthcoming with our physicians, whether it's something we may not wish to address yet or something we might be embarrassed about, where sometimes it can be easier for someone else to speak for you.
Yes.
And that, as you were just saying, and I was jotting down my notes, it helps the doctor be more informed and efficient. So it's not where the doctor may think, okay, well, this appointment's over and they're going to move on. And the patient says, oh, this one more thing. And that's the most important thing
always
that should have been mentioned.
Yes. Yes. We used to call that the doorknob question. So the patient asks when the doctor has their hand on the doorknob, ready to leave the room, is the most important question that they wanted to ask. So we definitely usually avoid those doorknob questions because I go over the visit with the patient before they're ever in the office. So we kind of come up with an agenda and set priorities for what they want to accomplish. So that avoids that last minute, like, okay, I was too afraid to say this before, but this is really what I wanted to talk about. They've prioritized. So they start with the most important issue and they're not blindsiding the doctor at the end of the visit with the most important complicated issue.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, does insurance pay for health advocates?
No. So that's the bad news in one way. Insurance companies don't pay for independent health advocates. But the good news is that means the advocate only works for you, and we're not limited by what the insurance company allows us to do. Most of us have already experienced plenty of frustration when dealing with insurance companies, so it's actually kind of liberating not to have them involved at all. From a purely financial perspective, an advocate can actually save people money in a lot of cases. We talked a little bit about the advocates who deal with billing and insurance. So an advocate sometimes can identify billing issues and errors that could potentially cost a client hundreds or thousands of dollars. So they can really save you money very obviously in those ways. They also make your medical care more efficient. They can help you avoid redundant testing and procedures. So patients don't always know what's been done, but if I reviewed a record and I can say, hey, you just ordered an MRI of the thoracic spine, but if you look through the records, they just had this 2 weeks ago ordered by another physician. Can we look at those results and see, do they really need to have that test done again? Again, it's the physician's decision ultimately. But sometimes if you have, you know, a medical record this thick, it's hard to keep track of everything in there. So sometimes the advocate can find those things and remember, oh, that person already had that done. maybe we don't need to do that again. So in those ways, you can sometimes save time and money. It's an investment for sure, but it more than pays off in time, in terms of time and aggravation, and often the money that an advocate can save you in the long run. And putting money aside, I know it sounds a little bit corny, but you really can't put a price on peace of mind. And knowing that somebody's advocating for you when you're sick and frightened or overwhelmed is tremendously comforting. And it takes a huge burden off of clients. So sometimes, even if you're not saving them money, you're saving them stress and giving them comfort. And that alone has to be worth something to most people.
It's that peace of mind that is really where we hear some individuals where they don't want to be that burden on their family and they want that peace of mind because they know planning ahead will set themselves up for success if and when a health decline or a medical event does happen. So I find it very relatable to what some of our members and our potential members communicate to us, exactly what you're seeing with your clients.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And that's one of the things I find so rewarding about what I'm doing too. If a client is so stressed out and so overwhelmed, then I say, hey, would you like me to make that phone call for you? Would you like me to look into that? Or do you want me to call your daughter and explain what's going on? Like, you can just see the relief. And it's just so nice because I really do like to help people. And it's so nice to see that you're relieving somebody's burden. So, you know, again, it sounds a little bit corny, but it really is so important for people who are already so stressed and so anxious to be able to take a little bit of that worry away from them.
Would you prefer to age independently in your own home or live in a nursing facility? I know what I'd rather do. Friends Life Care membership offers just that. Plan today for a future lived at home with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience while protecting your savings. Learn about your options at a free seminar or webinar. Register at friendslifecare.org/register or call 215-628-8964. A question that we will get sometimes that I'd like to get your input on is, if I'm in a hospital, can I just use the patient advocate there?
Yes. Patient advocates who are employed by the hospital offer a lot of really valuable services, typically related to the hospitalization or an issue with a specific provider during that hospitalization. So if a patient's having a problem during a hospital stay, contacting the patient advocate provided by the hospital can be a great place to start. These advocates I found are really good at peacekeeping and crisis management. They can help to resolve conflicts. They can de-escalate things and smooth things over when tensions are running high. Sometimes they have to get hospital administrators involved to try to resolve situations. So I think they really can be super valuable for a lot of those issues that happen during a hospitalization, especially if there's a crisis. The downside to using these hospital-employed advocates is that the scope of what they can do is sometimes limited by their employer. So they recommend services that are available within that hospital, but they're not incentivized always to give you what may be the best option. So, you know, you might want a second opinion and they'll find somebody within their hospital system who can provide the second opinion, but maybe the person is across the country who really is the expert on that and they may not have access to that. So you have to be a little bit cautious because you're not really sure where their loyalties lie. They're employed by the hospital. So to some extent, they have to be loyal to the hospital. As much as they do to try to help patients, they can be a little bit limited and they ultimately have to answer to their bosses. So they might not be able to make the patient their only priority. The other issue is that most hospital employed advocates don't have advanced medical training. There may be exceptions, but you know, you may be dealing with a social worker or somebody with a background in insurance or billing and not a physician or a nurse. So they may not be the best person to help you if it's a medical question or concern you're dealing with. So again, I think they have a really important role and they can really be very helpful to patients in a lot of situations. but you just have to be a little bit cautious because sometimes they may not have the expertise that you need to fix your particular issue, or they may not be working just for you as a patient. They may have kind of split loyalties.
And just as you said earlier, different advocates may have different specialties. And if an individual is employed at a hospital, that's their specialty. So it's not surprising that would be what they are so great at and excel at. However, you may want counsel, depending on your issue, from somebody outside of the hospital, because unfortunately, not everyone goes to the hospital, the problem's resolved, and then they go home and everything is as it was before. Oftentimes, especially as we get older, there can be more complex issues or comorbidities or rehabilitation or all these bills arriving. So it is just an important perspective that you're bringing up, that it may take more depending on what you as the patient are dealing with.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think they're a great place to start. And really, I don't want to downplay their importance and their role, because I think they do have a really important role, but they just may not be able to fulfill every need you have.
Sure. So I know our listeners are probably wondering right about now, how can they find a health advocate?
It's not always easy, unfortunately. And how you go about finding an advocate will likely depend on what service you need. I feel like we keep coming back to that. Advocates have so many different roles that they can fulfill. So you're going to have to tailor your approach to finding an advocate based on what your needs are. So again, most hospitals do have advocates on staff, and they can be very helpful in some circumstances. Some insurance companies actually offer health advocates, but again, those advocates ultimately represent the insurance company's issues, so they might not always be your best option. Sometimes it might be okay just to ask a friend or a family member to be your advocate. If that's the route you want to choose, you want to make sure you pick somebody who's organized, somebody who knows you really well, who knows what you want and what you need, and someone who's not shy about asking questions. So you don't want to ask your shrinking violet friend who's afraid to be assertive to go to the doctor with you. You want somebody who's not going to be intimidated by authority. Again, not somebody who's going to be aggressive or disrespectful, but you want somebody who's not afraid to speak up and ask questions. If you do choose a family member, or even if you choose a professional advocate, you'll likely have to fill out HIPAA documents or other medical release forms required by the hospital or the provider, so your doctors have permission to share the information with your loved one. Nothing prevents your family members or friends from talking to your doctor, from sharing things they think are important for the doctor to know, but legally, the doctor can't really tell them anything about what's going on with you unless you fill out those release forms. So if you do decide you want to find an independent professional health advocate, you can start out by doing an internet search for health advocate or patient advocate and the name of your city or county. So that may be a kind of general place to start. An even better way to find a professional advocate is to go with one of the professional organizations. So you can look at the websites for the Alliance of Professional Health Advocates or the National Patient Advocate Foundation. These organizations have online directories of advocates, and you can filter the listings by location and the types of services you need. So that makes it easier to find somebody who does what you want, where you want. And again, you want to make sure you're choosing an advocate whose background and area of expertise are aligned with your needs. So if you have an advocate who used to work in medical billing, that's probably not the best choice if you're having trouble understanding a diagnosis or treatment.
So my last question is, might you be able to help us further crystallize the experience by sharing a few examples of clients that you've helped through health advocacy?
Yeah, I think that would be a really good way for people to understand what I do. So, some patients are very simple and very straightforward. I've had clients who just want me to evaluate different health insurance plans for them. So I'll talk to the client about their medical conditions and their typical healthcare usage patterns. And then I can give them an idea how much they'll likely spend and what services will be covered with a different insurance plan. I've had some clients who just don't understand their health conditions or test results, and they want someone to explain things to them in language that actually makes sense. So much of what I do comes down to improving communication between patients and doctors. There are doctors who are brilliant and really well-meaning, but just not good at communicating with their patients, so I can bridge those gaps. There's one client in particular that comes to mind that I think really demonstrates the scope of what I do as an advocate. And I enjoyed working with this man so much because he gave me a chance to do so many of the things that I love to do. So he was a little bit complicated, but bear with me. He was a man in his 70s who had just been diagnosed with cancer. He was feeling really overwhelmed, and he wanted me to help him understand his medical issues. And he also wanted me to be the point person who would communicate with his adult children. They had a lot of challenging dynamics and relationships in the family, and he needed somebody to sort of be the mediator. So those were the basic things he wanted me to do. When we first started out, we would talk before all of his doctor's appointments so he had an idea what to expect going into each visit. I went to his appointments with him. Sometimes we went in person. Sometimes both of us were on video, or he was in the office and I was on video. But I was included in all of the visits and all of the phone calls between him and his doctors in between visits. So I was able to clarify any questions that came up on either side. Again, you know, we talked about how different people walk away from a visit having heard or remembered different things. So it was nice that I could be part of every communication between him and his doctor. So if questions came up down the road, I could say, no, I don't think that's what she said. Let me refer to my notes. And I would take notes during the visits and the phone calls and then email summaries to my client and to his children. So everybody understood what was happening. Everybody was on the same page and everybody knew what to expect going forward. And I think the reason this man stands out so much for me is I was involved with him pretty much right from the beginning. So, you know, people usually think to call an advocate when things are falling apart. So you call the hospital advocate when you're in the hospital because a disaster has happened and everybody's unhappy. And I'm happy to help in situations like that when people call because things have fallen apart. But it's so much better when a client asks me to get involved before there are any problems. And that was exactly what happened with this gentleman. So it kind of goes back to why I wanted to do pediatrics. I really like to prevent the problems before they become problems. And that's one of the things that I just really love about being a health advocate. So I wish every client could work the way it worked with this man in particular, because it really is so much better to prevent the problems and to make sure that everything runs smoothly right from the start than to try to play catch up and clean up the mess after it's happened.
And from everything that you've said, one message that's really coming through to me is if you are struggling with understanding a diagnosis or the medical bills that are coming to you or your insurance coverage, you are not alone. It is very common to be confused because it's not what you're doing day in and day out as a patient most often. So it is okay to ask for help, and it will really be to your benefit to reach out sooner than later.
Absolutely. 100%.
Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us today. I have learned so much more about health advocacy and how you would be able to help your clients throughout the complex medical healthcare system. So I so appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for giving me the chance to talk with you.
Of course. Take care. Thank you to Dr. Carolyn Trend for joining us today. You can learn more about Carolyn on LinkedIn and by visiting her website, trendhealthadvocacy.com. Links to these resources and others can be found in the show notes. If you like our show, please rate, review, subscribe, and join us next time. To learn more about aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience, subscribe to our blog at friendslifecare.org/blog.